Buena Vista. It's a bonus episode. I'm Lucy, and I'm the host of your favorite reality television program, Chastity Island, on our secluded and glamorous island in the Bahamas, where our handsome contestants have only one rule. If you become horny, you'll receive a high-voltage shock via a cattle prod. Now, before our commercial, we were just about to find out who'll receive this week's immunity cock cage idol for best adhering to the rules of chastity. For the 14th week running, it is Theo, a man who claims he has never and will never touch his own pubis. Congratulations to Theo, who is safe this week from elimination. This, of course, must be disappointing to our diversity hire on the show. He's a white man, but he is bisexual and also from Queensland, making him the most ethnic contestant to feature on an Australian network reality show. Now, Ben, you were brought down quite hard by this week's Try Not to Come challenge.
Yeah.
Was it the cartoon of Marge Simpson with an enormous rack on the Pornhub front page that got you down, or was it something else?
I was on track not to come. and I was doing perfect great, but then I remembered the time that a hot guy in high school bullied me, and then I was just done. Yeah.
Yeah, you feel it. You got to avoid that.
He accused me of being small and, like, little and like, worthless, and then just, after that, all bets are off.
Yeah, look, it's a classic. We've all been there, haven't we?
We definitely, most of us developed our kinks based on ways that we were emotionally abused in high school by our peers.
We sure did. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to this week's elimination, and none of us will be surprised to see the man emerging from the Chastity Island house looking like Yahoo Sirius in Young Einstein with a fine black soot covering his face. It's not just your average Dutchman, but it is Andrew, who holds the record for most times violently electrocuted while on the island. Andrew, we're all absolutely delighted to see you go from the show. Do you have any last words for the viewers at home?
I will be suing the show both for the way that they have edited me and also for the electrocution fetish that I have developed in the time that I've been here. I have now developed a very, very close association between getting my gunk out and being violently shocked by a cattle prod. And now, who's going to buy a cattle prod for my house? Me at my own expense? No, thank you.
Talk to our lawyers. What a mistake we've made.
No, thank you. That should be the devils at Channel 9. They should have to foot that bill.
And this show would, of course, be on Channel 9.
They got some other big legal concerns going on, actually, that I don't know.
They might.
Chastity Island will register.
Hi there. It's me, Ben, from this podcast. Just a quick correction here. I thought that was a very clever joke, but Ben Robert Smith, the SAS war criminal, actually employed by Channel 7, not Channel 9. I was kind of hoping I could think of something else that was going on at Channel 9 that they could maybe refer to, but I got nothing, and I'm just going to... I'll own that. Anyway, I hope you're having a lovely morning or evening whenever you're listening to this, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
You know, so you watched Married at First Sight this year, Lucy?
I sure did.
So Elna was watching that, which meant that I wound up watching some of it, and it was very funny to me that they had a bisexual contestant. And what that meant was exactly what you have described, which was a white guy who came on and said, yeah, I've had a couple of boyfriends.
And then everybody was horrible. They talked about it all the time.
Everybody immediately was like, is this a joke? What the fuck?
You're talking about him like he's a cryptid, just being like, I saw him sneaking around at night and he was about to suck my fake husband's dick. And I had to swat him away.
It was absolutely wild the extent to which everybody else on the show was immediately like, no, but like...
They threatened
really? How many people have you slept with of each of the genders? Yeah. How often? Which everybody clearly thought that there was basically like a big semicircular dial, and they wanted to know exactly where the needle was pointing.
Yeah,
I had an argument
Kinsey scale test
with a man at a house party in, I think I'm going to call it maybe 2014.
So we were, after Seal and Heidi Klum got married.
I think in the year they divorced, actually, in 2014.
Mm. Very sad.
This
very
will
sad.
Come up later because this will be the first episode to be released.
No, I'm releasing them in the reverse order. So this is actually, it will come out fine, I think.
Great news.
I experienced some like kinds of homophobia when I was a teenager, which is mainly just growing up in regional Queensland and having people call me a faggot because I was kind of faggoty. So that, you know,
yeah.
In retrospect, they're absolutely right to do it. But that, like, I've never really experienced any sort of biophobia in my life because, no, I'm not going to say it's fake. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Whenever I see people complaining about biophobia, I'm like, you kind of just get to exist like a heterosexual
people
person.
People are going
to
be mad at us for this, but I have not experienced biphobia because I have dated a lot of men. So.
Yeah, can I offer
a very uneducated opinion?
Are you bisexual? Do you get to weigh in on this? I feel like Lucy and I get to weigh in on this.
Well, you guys get to weigh in on it. All I was going to say was, I notice a distinction between when people talk about like homophobia and transphobia, but a lot of the time when it comes to bi people, they talk about bi erasure.
Yeah,
which
sure we're left out of narratives.
Yeah,
because it's not exciting. It's not fun.
and people do talk about biphobia, but a lot of the time, what people are talking about is essentially saying, "I don't feel that my sexuality has been sufficiently acknowledged."
Yeah,
which I guess is like kind of in a, maybe it's in the same neighborhood, but it's not quite in the same ballpark as some of the things people talk about when they talk about, you know, homophobia, transphobia, that kind of thing. Not that I'd know.
There are like some real, they're not like horrible concerns, but like there are things that I've had where I have had partners sort of say to me like the classic thing of being like, oh, because you're bisexual, you must be slutty or whatever. Like, I'm worried you're going to cheat on me, which is a dumb fucking thing. But also more insidious stuff where I've had long-term partners be like, I feel insecure in this relationship because I don't think I can provide everything that you want because I'm not a man.
That's what happened. Mm. That's what happened on Married at First Sight between the man and his fake wife.
That's a parallel that you can draw. That makes me very upset.
Well, they had kind of stuck with it for a bit, and she was like, yeah, everything's great, we're vibing, and then the tone of the music changes. And she's like, I'm just concerned. Like, what if we get together and we're married and stuff, but there's just like this penis itch that you need to scratch at some point in your life, you know.
Strap-ons.
However,
there's so many things you can do.
A lot of options there. Yeah.
So many options.
The market will accommodate. The invisible finger of the market will find its way into your butthole.
having said all the things that I just said about the difference between described biphobia versus, you know, homophobia. Sorry, bi erasure. Versus homophobia and stuff like that, I will actually wheel back around to that to say Australian network television did very well to provide us with a crystal clear example of what biphobia would look like. And then that was a person casually confirming when asked that they were bisexual and having everybody in the room immediately treat them like they were an alien.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like everybody just openly interrogating this person about their sexuality, demanding to know how many
dicks have you sucked?
Yep, like all that kind of thing. And it was such a crystal clear example of bigotry in the sense of as soon as those people learned that about him, they all immediately treated him completely differently to everybody else in the room. Yeah. And they even had points later on where some of the guys were like, look, I'm being chummy with him to show that I don't have a problem with it, you know?
Yeah.
Which again, like that, the thing that was interesting to me about that TV show was that I've spent the whole time trying to figure out, do they just find the biggest psychos that are out there?
Yeah.
Or is this actually a more accurate representation of what, like, your average, you know, 28-year-old Australian guy is like.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
So
maybe.
The thing I was going to say that was like the only actual example of like what I would maybe call biphobia that happened to me was, again, 2014, the year Heidi Klum and Seal got divorced. Mm-hmm. I was at a house party. We're underneath a Queenslander share house that seven people live in, and a guy is listening to me talk about being bisexual to someone, and he very audibly, in a way where he like wanted me to hear, was just like, yeah, you're straight. And I was just like, I'm sorry, what are you saying? And he's like, yeah, like, yeah, what? You like sucked like two dicks and that means you're like bisexual. You're not gay. You're like a straight guy. And I think for maybe the first time in my life, I found a person that I was slightly more threatening than. And I have never felt that powerful in my entire life of just like turning around and being very slightly taller than someone and just being like, yeah, sorry, mate. What the fuck did you just say to me? And watching him be like, no, but it's cool though. It's like, it's great. It's like great that you're like bisexual and I love that. Yeah, that's really great. I'm like, interesting.
Swear to God, I will suck your dick right now.
it was like a low moment of just having someone be like, your sexuality is not valid. And then a high moment of being like, fuck you. I'm in control of this situation, you piece of shit. Also, afterwards, years later, that guy kept trying to get his band to book support acts with our band. And I was just like, I'm not going to do that you're actually a piece of shit. Fuck you. It's wonderful. It's very satisfying. But fuck that guy. Can't remember his name, but shout out to that guy. Fuck you.
Yes. Folks, these are the many different ways. These are the many different ways that people across this wide land of ours interact with holes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so, you know, thinking of that, I think it's only reasonable that we should do a quick edition of the whole report.
You've lost the whole report theme, haven't you?
No, just edit this out. The whole report.
That'll be up to me. We'll see.
I actually really love this hole. I think it's a unique hole, and I think it's difficult. And I think
it is going roller.
The hole report. It's where we check out holes, what's in them, what's around them. Sometimes there's a hole and you don't know what's in it.
I love so much that after most themes, you will explain what the theme is for. It's great.
Well, I feel like the hole report maybe not explanatory enough. Maybe people think there's a silent W on there and that this is, you know, an entire
report.
A report about a whole subject, you know?
We would never do that. We only do partial reports on this podcast.
Partial reports. We're just giving you a glimpse into a hole, you know?
And that is what most of us are after. Am I right?
You are right. This comes to us by way of the ABC. Not the American one that copied the Australian one.
Yuck. No, I'm talking, of course, about the Ass Beautiful Corporation. The Australian one.
Yes. The anus busting company brings us the following story. Sinkhole appears at Limestone Coast tourist spot as holidaymakers urge to avoid unstable cliff tops.
I hate a sinkhole.
You do?
It's not for me.
Oh, I love a sinkhole.
What's positive coming from a sinkhole? It seems bad to me.
I just think it's nice to be reminded that our like relationship to the earth is very chaotic.
Yeah, it really is. Anything could happen.
Could be a hole at any time. Yeah.
Hey, folks, you could get swallowed at any time. Mm. And isn't that what most people are looking for?
That's right.
This is an odd episode.
I don't know where we're going with a lot of this.
Yeah, I mean, personally, the idea that I could just fall through the earth at any given moment does not give me any kind of positive comfort. But, you know, you do you. You're built different, you know? Holidaymakers flocking to coastal areas this long weekend have been urged to stay away from unstable cliffs after a huge hole opened up on South Australia's Limestone Coast without warning. A bit of warning would have helped.
Hey, that's... guys. A big spontaneous sinkhole is about to open up. Don't stand on the big X.
Urged to stay away from unstable cliffs, as though people are like, stable, unstable, I don't care what kind of cliffs I go to. The hole, the size of half a tennis court. Very odd unit of measurement.
Yeah, right. Surely there's got to be something that is the entire thing is the size of half a tennis court. The size of a squash court.
Yeah. Three bowling lanes, you know?
I feel like it's reasonable.
A third of a bowling green. Could be any kind of size.
A handball court with six squares. Probably about that size, I reckon.
I cannot picture a single thing of this size. Do not have a special brain.
Don't play a lot of tennis.
Can you rotate a 3D object in your mind, Lucy? Is that
I don't think I could.
I read about people who can't do that the other day.
Are you talking about aphantasia?
Yes.
I know people of people who claim to have aphantasia.
Claims? Oh, we got some aphantasia erasure here on the show.
Aphantasia erasure.
So what's aphantasia?
That's where you can't actually picture things in your mind. Like the way that the majority of people, you can imagine something in your mind and kind of see it in your mind's eye. People with aphantasia don't have a mind's eye.
You say, picture an elephant, and they see big black nothing.
They think about the thought of an elephant, but they can't actually picture an elephant in their mind.
Right, gotcha.
It's one of those things where the way we describe how things happen internally in our mind is so dubious to me that I'm like, I feel like we could be talking about things differently. I it's real. It's definitely real, but I'm always just like, I don't know. It's hard to prove anything that's happening inside your brain. I don't know.
Are you always like, what if what they think of is the color red? It's what I think of is the color blue, man.
100%, yes.
Yeah, I have a $40,000 hex debt to have been thinking about this.
With your degree in philosophy that you got.
Yeah, that was really helpful to me in my life. So
$40,000 hex debt for the woman who can't picture half of a tennis court.
Tennis court, though.
I can't picture a single other thing of that size.
Your average Baskin-Robbins.
All right.
A car park that is too small.
A subway store.
A subway. Yeah, a subway is probably half a tennis court. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just needed something that had a child molester related to it and immediately.
He's enjoying another kind of footlong.
People are being urged to avoid the hole. Avoid the hole, folks. Just imagine you're driving into a town that you have not been to, right?
It's just a big sign. The border
A series of billboards as you get closer to the sign. Avoid the hole.
No, seriously. Avoid the hole.
Enough about what my ex-boyfriends are saying.
I'm picturing each of these billboards with the typography of the signs in They Live. You know?
Yeah.
Pure white. Sure. Big black heavy font, avoid the hole.
A picture of a hole, then just the text, avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know the
avoid
symbol.
The void, you could almost say.
Oh. Well, sounds like you should be on the Limestone Coast Tourist Board.
Hmm.
You know?
I believe that that's true of me and every tourism board. Put me on it. I can rhyme shit like you wouldn't fucking believe.
People are being urged to avoid the void, as it is still collapsing and waves are scouring the cliffs underneath. District Council of Robe Chief Executive James Holyman.
Can you just say that again? Sorry. His title and his name?
District Council of Robe Chief Executive James Holyman says the hole. Let's get Holyman to look into this hole.
I'm focused on District Council of Robe.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those weird, like, fake American secret societies. Yeah.
This is the official name of the group that does the orgies in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, the District Council of Robes.
But this sentence gets weirder, though. James Holyman says the hole, which is near the area's existing blowhole...
Oh, there's a hole near our hole.
And it's the result of coastal erosion. Avoid the hole, but not the local signature blowhole, which
the regular hole is fine. Yeah, check out our regular hole, our abnormal hole. Do not look.
Don't look at that. Don't look at that one. We got great hole for you over here.
I would also recommend to everyone that they do not look at my abnormal hole.
If people want to check it out, stay outside of those flagged off areas, he said.
My regular hole? That's open for business.
Come on down. I mean, there's really no upper limit on how many people we can get in here.
Not the way I do it.
Look at both of mine. Both of mine are nice.
Well, they're right next to each other.
God damn it, I hate this podcast.
This was your idea, Ben. You were like, let's do a main episode first, because sometimes we have a little bit to drink by the bonus episode. We should do that one second.
Yeah, sorry. I somehow didn't anticipate this would involve you being like, hey, check out both of my holes.
Well, you queued up the whole report, you know?
Yeah, I guess that is somehow on me.
And you were like, don't look at my abnormal hole.
Yeah,
that's a fun joke about being like, oh, it's clearly, you know, that's being said in jest.
My butthole is disgusting.
Oh, so it's fine for you to say that your butthole is gross, but I can't advertise.
I can't say various that mine's nice.
Podcast. It's not that I don't want anyone to look at my hole. I just don't think it'd be that interesting to anyone, you know?
I just want to apologize to my mum who listens to this podcast.
Oh, no.
No, she doesn't. That was a joke. Please does not listen to this podcast.
Good. Family members, please turn off the podcast now.
Stay out.
Mr. Holyman says, it's a fair way down and the Southern Ocean is fairly churned with big rollers. Fairly churned with big rollers. What a sentence.
God, I dream of being fairly churned with big rollers.
I would love a big roller to churn in my abnormal hole. I tell you.
Yep. My favorite thing about that little snippet there is the word after it in square brackets.
Waves.
Where the person writing the story for the ABC has been like, oh, people aren't going to know what he means by fairly churned with big rollers. He means waves.
I don't.
But also, square brackets, if you're using them when you're writing a journalistic article, indicate a substitution.
Yeah, it's a replacement normally, right?
Yeah, they should flow on with the cadence of the sentence. He's actually added an addendum. What he should have done is he should have replaced the word rollers with square brackets waves. Sorry, I've assumed it's a he. Oh, my God, I've been sexist.
Oh,
you've done an erasure. You've done an erasure, Ben.
I've done an erasure. Fuck.
Are you actually going to find out right now who wrote this article?
I am, yes. I'm much like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the film Eraser.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep.
Sandra Morello and Selena Green. This was two female authors. I am so sorry.
Oh,
my goodness. My goodness.
Wow.
I've been double cancelled. I've been cancelled with both barrels.
You are being a real UFC fighter, Paulo Borrachinha Costa, right now. And that is, of course, Portuguese for the eraser.
Oh.
Yep.
That's dope. That's cool, as hell.
And boy, is that guy bricked up. It's a real pleasure to look at, you know? apparently, according to Mr. Holy Man, if you went into the hole, you would be, quote, sucked out into the ocean. Emphasis his.
That is what I describe any man that has a sexual encounter with me as having experienced. I will fucking suck you out in the ocean.
You are going to get sucked so good, bro.
You've been sucked off so hard you lose some of your body mass. Swipe right on me.
Oh my goodness. Mr. Holyman said the Council of Robe, I assume, would now seek further advice given the potential danger to the public, including whether to move the coastal trail further back. Step away from that hole. quote, there are spots around that area where there are holes that have gone through. So that's just natural erosion, he said. We're also tracking, for example, the obelisk.
Excuse me?
We've got a series of photos over time of the obelisk.
Now, I just want to note for the listener that the obelisk, I've never really learned how to pronounce that, is not capitalized. It's not like if you were referring to a specific, like, well-known sort of like, local landmark, you would say, like the 12 Apostles, an capitalized, for example. Yeah. They've got one.
Yep.
One, and they don't specify whether it's one of many in the community.
Yep. But they've got a series of photos over time of it. So, Yep.
Mr. Holyman said you could see how the area had been eroded by the weather and the ocean. Well, that's what happens, buddy. You chose to live there.
You deal with the holes.
You deal with the holes. That's this podcast's official position.
That is my official position on this episode.
You deal with the holes.
You deal with the holes.
My goodness. Hey. What's that out the window? That's right, it's nature. Let's open the window.
Laziest fucking segue you've ever done.
Let us open the window, clamber out. I don't know about anybody else, but at this point in my life, I don't feel like I'm getting out of a window that gracefully.
Mm. No, I'm hurting myself on the way. My knees aren't working.
I'm hurting myself just like, you're moving around regularly, let alone having to try and get myself through a window.
But no, clambering through the window is one of the top 10 ways to get into nature. Take yourself out, go right down the end of the driveway and just keep going until you hit some green stuff. Maybe brown. It can be wet. Nature can be wet.
Hey, if I wanted to hit some green stuff, I would simply go to the weird 1980s sealable tea storage container that I have in my kitchen. That's where I keep my weed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yep, sometimes you got to go right out to nature, but sometimes nature comes to you.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Sorry, just before we get started on this, Lucy, do you need to top off on your wine?
Did you just notice that I finished my wine?
It just seems like you necked like the bottom third of your wine glass.
It was a tiny little glass.
It really, you threw your whole head back. Like, that was like a fucking...
It was the last bit of the Tempranillo, and there is plenty left
in
the bottle.
You fucking are mad for a Tempranillo. You were crazy for a Tempranillo.
I'm mad for it. But thank you. I will silently sneak out while you're talking and top up my wine. Thank you for noticing.
This is... This story comes to us by way of NPR. What does that stand for, Lucy?
No penis.
Keep going.
I got nothing.
Wow, no, you really got two out of three on those. I was going to say no pussy radio. Nah, because there are a bunch of nerds over there.
Because everyone at NPR is a bunch of nerds. That's good.
nerdy perverts radio.
Do they do Tiny Desk? Is that NPR?
They do. I love a Tiny Desk.
I feel bad. No, they're not Tiny nerds. Desk. They are nerds,
Thundercat Tiny Desk
is wonderful.
Check that out. Idol's Tiny Desk. That's wonderful time. Mm. Oh,
love the Daniel Caesar Tiny Desk. That's a
Sam Amadon one. Tiny Desk. That's a wonderful one. Oh.
Mm. BTS Tiny Desk. Oh, so much.
BTS did a Tiny Desk?
They did do a Tiny Desk.
That's insane.
It's wonderful.
That's amazing.
My kids enjoyed the Blue Man Group Tiny Desk.
Oh. How many blue men did they have?
I'd say three or four. Also, really enjoyed the Alfredo Rodriguez Trio Tiny Desk. Check that out if you like.
That is wonderful stuff.
And that's when you have your Rodriguez Trio outside, right? Oh, so that's the Alfresco Rodriguez.
Fucking hell. God damn it. Well, time to smoothly move from that to a serious story that we're covering, okay? Someone got hurt.
This is quite dark. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. No laughs.
No joke zone. We're entering into another no joke zone on the podcast, okay? Cincinnati police have said a cicada is responsible for a single car crash in the city's East End neighborhood Monday evening. While the driver sustained only minor injuries, the cicada was not as fortunate and was found dead on the car's floorboard.
Oh, I wouldn't have put that in the opening paragraph, personally, if I was writing this story.
You would have had a bit of sizzle and revealed that the cicada died later?
Well, I mean, also, like, if you're using the, what's the way they describe the style? The inverted pyramid format for news stories? The cicada's death is not, like, the lead here. It's that a cicada caused a single driver car accident. A single car accident. Yeah, I don't know. It's just odd. It's odd to lead with that. Also, that implies this whole other level of investigation that I'm unfamiliar with, where people are like, all right, we know it was a cicada. We must find the cicada and check how they're doing. Wild.
Well, I mean, I think that responsible for also has the potential to suggest a bit of intent.
Intent, 100%. Yeah.
They're saying causation here. That's pretty rough. Mm. Also, I want to make clear that I'm from Victoria, so I unfortunately do say cicada.
Oh, that's fucking disgusting.
Me and Elder are always having state-based language problems. Saying castle. She's out there saying castle.
Wait, where's Eleanor from?
Victoria.
Where are you from?
Are you saying castle?
I'm saying castle.
I'm going she's either way. Castle? It depends on the company.
She's saying castle, I'm saying castle.
I don't care who's employing me. I'm not saying castle.
I mean, but if you're... It's Castlemaine, you know? It's not Castlemaine. That sounds very fancy.
Yeah, I'd say Castlemaine.
Very fancy.
Yeah.
I'm not out there saying Newcastle.
Ooh, garage.
Car hole. So basically, this cicada was found dead on the car's floorboard, so it could not be interrogated about its motives.
Yeah, they don't know. They're surmising at this point. It might have been drunk flying.
Murder suicide. Hmm.
Yeah, could have been a suicide bomber type situation.
I don't think it murdered anyone. That would have just been injury suicide.
It was more of a suicide. The cicada flew through an open window and hit the driver's face, causing them to crash into utility pole and total the car.
Oh my
according
God.
To a tweet from the Cincinnati Police Department. Sorry, but you got fucking owned. Like,
yeah, you got
really did. I've noticed a huntsman crawling on me while I've been driving, and I've like calmly removed the huntsman and continued without incident. Like, we were
driving home from the coast a couple of weeks ago, and as we were driving along, like, you know, at 110 on a highway where there was nowhere to stop, kind of thing. The giant huntsman that apparently lives inside the car just came crawling out from under the dashboard and between the windshield and was just like walking up.
Oh, that's the worst.
Walking up to like being very parallel to Elna's face, and she's just leaning away and and she was like, maybe you could pull over and we could ask the huntsman to exit the vehicle. And I was like, sure, when I find someone to pull over, I will let you know. And so, like, by the time we're somewhere that we can pull over, the huntsman's gone. I'm just going to go and slide in between this bit of the windshield and the interior into a place where it was, like, you know, very close to Elna's head, but just had vanished again. It's like,
no.
What do you do? You can't do anything about that.
You don't know where it is.
It's going to keep on trucking. You don't want to be poking around in holes trying to get it out. You don't want to hurt the little guy, you know?
Punta Vista, you don't want to be poking around in holes.
Yep.
Don't do it.
Punta Vista, don't go poking around in that hole and hurt your little guy. So basically, this cicada tried to kill somebody.
Yeah,
failed.
Killed himself.
Killed himself.
With guilt.
Swarms of Brood X cicadas, very cool, have emerged in vast portions of the eastern United States, awakening from their 17-year underground slumber to fuck. I just want to come back again and say, I don't know who gets hit with a bug or has something jump out in front of them. I've realized that there is like a whole class of people when whatever speed they are traveling at in a car and whatever it is that appears in front of them will just kind of jerk the steering wheel to the side and like swerve the car. And that, it's just...
It's what they do on TV all the time. They see something and they're just turning. They're swerving. They're going crazy.
It's really the worst possible thing that you can do while moving at a decent clip in your car. That's our pro tip from the podcast for this week. If something jumps out at you or whatever, do not punch the brakes and jerk the steering wheel to the side as hard as you can. It will not go well.
You ever seen that polling where like 70 to 80% of people consider themselves to be an above average driver?
That makes sense.
God.
I love that. I love thinking about that.
Everyone thinks they're a better driver than everyone else.
Yeah. It's so good. It's fucking awesome.
Everyone's out there just getting after it.
We see that thing that's been going around this week about a woman in Arkansas who's suing the Arkansas State Police because she was speeding on like the interstate or something. I don't know, one of the highways. And a cop's pulled up behind her, chucked his lights on. And this woman has, in accordance with the road rules, put her indicator on and then her hazards to indicate that she's going to turn over when it's safe to do so, right? She's going to pull over, but she can't because the shoulder on the highway is less narrow than a car.
Yeah.
More narrow than a car, I guess. So it's not safe for her to do so. So she's waiting for the next exit, which is about a mile away. So after like a minute and a half, 2 minutes of waiting for the exit to come up, the cop decides to do a PIT maneuver, whatever the fuck that stands for. It's like a precision.
Is that the one where you hit him in the back corner and like push them across?
Yeah, a pursuit intervention technique, which is where you take the front right-hand corner of your car, the front corner of your car, and you apply it to one of the back wheels of their car, which immediately, because of the way cars move, makes them turn around. Like, it spins you around, basically. So, this woman who was traveling on the highway, the cop car just comes up to her while she's slowly traveling, waiting to turn off for a shoulder. Car hits her back left-hand wheel. That makes her go immediately to the left. Her car goes straight into the central sort of divide on the highway. Mm-hmm. Her car then flips and catches on fire. So the woman driving this car is by herself and she is pregnant.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then so now she's suing the Arkansas State Police because she's like, hey, I was doing literally what the driver's instruction handbook tells you to do if a cop tries to pull you over on the highway, and you almost killed me and my unborn child.
Yikes.
Yep.
But when's that ever stop the American police, you know?
Oh, God. Yeah. They're the fucking worst, aren't they?
Although cicadas have one of the longest lifespans of any insect, they die shortly after they fork. And brood X adults are expected to be gone by the end of July until the next cycle. That's got to suck.
That sucks. Do you think they know? They know, but they want to have sex anyway. Cicadas are just so horny that they don't care.
They're making, they know the trade-off.
Yeah.
If they know.
They're prepared to do it.
If they know, it's got to feel really good to get a nut off as a cicada, you know?
You'd hope so.
They're dying a hero's death.
The department's social media director, Sergeant Eric Franz, just booing being a social media director.
Yeah, for literally anyone. Fuck you.
Yeah.
They told NPR this has been the first major cicada-related incident in the area during this cycle.
Okay.
That's good to know.
I'm sure there'll be many more.
Yep.
Hey, barely anybody has been has had their car totaled this cicada season, you know? Police have advised city residents to keep their car windows closed to avoid similar accidents.
Fascists.
Noted.
Gonna put the top down on this bad boy. Car full of bugs. Now, Ben.
Yeah.
Depending on the order these episodes come out in, just going to pull back the curtain for a second.
No, these are coming out in the order that we've recorded them. So you guys literally don't have to worry about this at all. Yeah.
In which case. Now, Ben, you were very entertained on the previous episode when Lucy described a loose baby.
Yes, because that was the most insane way to describe the circumstance she was trying to describe. That's correct.
Baby.
Yeah. Okay. Wild is also the most insane way to describe that. You've chosen the two most insane ways to describe that circumstance.
Well, the good news for you is that we have a nature-themed spin on a loose baby, and that is, of course, a loose donkey. You know when your donkey gets loose? You're like, hey, not again.
I hate it when my donkey gets loose.
Not again. I'm shaking my fist at the sky.
Always saying this.
Every other week with this fucking donkey. The same Rhode Island town that had to deal with a runaway steer earlier this year. Did we talk about that one, Ben?
Yes, we did. That was one of the ones that popped up.
Wasn't Buddy the Beefalo?
No. That Buddy the Beefalo was in, I don't know, somewhere else. But we did talk about the loose steer that was in Providence, Rhode Island. Definitely came up.
The same Rhode Island town that had to deal with a runaway steer earlier this year is now investigating reports of a donkey on the loose. Wild donkey out in the town. They make it sound like, you know, Michael Myers is in your town. You got to be inside before sundown.
There's a curfew. Make sure you've got a gun.
I think I could handle like a loose donkey. That doesn't sound very intimidating.
You just cross the street, right?
Yeah, you're just like, oh, that donkey's out. That's fine.
The donkey was first spotted in Johnson about 7 p.m. Sunday near the town line with Skituate?
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to say, if it's on the East Coast, let's say Skituate.
Skituate? Yeah. That's better than like Situate. You know?
Situate. Mm. Yeah. Skituate.
That was pretty fun. It was reported again at about 8:30 p.m., but when police arrived at the scene, it was gone. Cue the unsolved mysteries theme.
Ghost ass way of the samurai.
Vanished into the smoke, said Chief Joseph Raza. WJAR-TV shared video captured by a motorist that showed the donkey trotting down a street as cars whizzed past.
He's just vibing. He's just chilling. Love, like, what's the problem?
Just people catching glimpses of it like it's the fucking Cloverfield monster. Here we go again, Mayor Joseph Polisina told WPRO Radio on Monday morning, saying he was concerned that the donkey might cause a car crash. Well, if one cicada can bring a car down.
That's true. What about a donkey? You never know.
Who knows what a donkey could do?
Who knows?
Because a donkey weighs 1,000 times more than a cicada, logically, it could cause 1,000 times as many car accidents.
Yeah, you're right. The science is flawless.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's why you're a marine geologist. That's exactly why.
Great bit of detective work in the following sentence. No one has reported a missing donkey, but Polisina noted there are several farms in the area. Donkey could come from a farm.
Donkey could farm? Come from farm. Farm? Donkey?
He's written that down 1,000 times in his notebook. Farm? Donkey.
Farm?
Donkey? Farm?
Question mark? Donkey?
Farm equals donkey? Farm plus donkey equals question mark? Question mark donkey farm?
Page heading, donkey places, underlined.
Farm
animals, question mark.
Farm animals, donkey?
Farm animal, donkey place?
Donkey equals horse, question mark?
Farm, big house?
Some more excellent detective work. Animal control will patrol the area where the donkey was last seen.
Smart.
Really closing the barn doors after the donkey is bolted, I feel. A 1,500-pound or 680-kilogram steer that escaped on its way to a slaughterhouse, spent nearly 2 months on the lam in Johnson until it was captured in late March. Neighbors said they never suspected a thing. He had a job at the local mechanics, kept to himself, mainly.
He was quiet, he was polite, he paid his rent on time.
Really, he really quieted up when you asked him anything about where he came from or where he grew up. Didn't like to share that kind of information, but I didn't really think anything of it. He's a very polite guy, you know?
Now, before you read the last sentence, I'm just going to draw the curtain back just a tiny bit. So, when I put news stories into the document for the podcast, I trim out the boring bits, right? Like, I take out things that aren't interesting or funny or don't necessarily add anything to the story that would be useful for a comedy current events podcast like Bunta Vista. I want you to know that at no point did I trim anything from what you just said to before the next sentence, and I didn't trim anything after the next sentence. It is the final sentence in the article, and there is no abridgment happening in any way.
No additional context. No follow-up.
There's nothing at all. There's no extra information or anything. Can you please read for me the final sentence?
Yeah, I'm gonna walk back over to take my mark, and you pull the curtains back closed.
Yep.
And I'll take it from the top, okay?
I have closed the curtains.
Okay. A 680-kilogram steer that escaped on its way to a slaughterhouse spent nearly 2 months on the lam in Johnson until it was captured in late March. 3 years ago, three wild turkeys intimidated drivers in town. Full stop. End of story.
Just
you don't
like
need
a
to know
gang
anything
of
else.
Like three turkeys just being like, what the fuck is up?
Hey. Oh, what's that? You're driving a 1999 Subaru Forester? What up, bitch?
Just three turkeys.
I'd be so much more scared by three turkeys than one donkey.
Honestly, like, yeah, I'd be more scared by the turkeys. They're organized.
If that sentence was just like, 3 years ago, three wild turkeys were running around town for a while, you'd be like, oh, okay. But intimidating drivers, just the suggestion that they're like, they're next to like a stop sign, and when you pull up to stop, they're just like...
Like banging on the window?
Surrounding your car, pecking at your window.
Yeah.
Hey, what you doing, motherfucker? You going for a drive? Where you going? Where you going? We're just having a chat. Just talk to me. Like, what's up? What's up, motherfucker?
I got a problem? Too good to talk to me? Too good to put your window down? Hey! Hey! Where intimidating you going? Drivers in town. That is no good. This next story sounds like it might be a little unsettling.
Perfect.
So I'm not going to read it. I'm too scared.
Okay. No, I don't want you to be spooked.
I don't want anything scary. It's late.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Being intimidated by a trio of wild turkeys in town. Bad vibes.
Would you
surely
describe
signs.
This? Maybe. Would it be ominous and portentous if you saw that?
Ben, yes, it would.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God and bow down to his will.
Yes, this is from the BBC, which stands for, Lucy?
Oh, come on now.
Oh.
Why are you asking me that question?
I just like of all of us.
Big, beautiful Quimmin. That's what it stands for.
I love that.
Lost
Village.
They
really call their thing BBC.
This is from, of course, the BBC. Lost Village emerges from Italian lake. Huh.
Hmm.
I feel like they would have been really missing an opportunity if when it did emerge from the Italian lake, there wasn't like a medieval figure holding a sword aloft.
Yeah,
as it came back 100%. Up out of the water. That's what I would...
That would have been good.
Yeah, if it was happening in front of me, I would be like, this is really cool. But in the back of my mind, I would be waiting to see the tip of the sword come out.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to the point where like pretty much all of the pavement is up, water's rushing off everything, and it's starting to become very clear, you're not going to see a guy with a sword.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of disappointment sets in. Like, it's still really cool, And you didn't even expect to see it when you booked that ticket.
Someone turned around. They're looking at you. They're like, Marcello, what's up? And you're like, oh, I just thought I was going to see a broad with a sword. Like,
yeah, it's pretty cool, you know.
It is pretty lovely, the Lost City, but could have had something else. Ah, well, Mamma Mia.
Ah, well, Mamma Mia.
Ah, that's amore. Repair works at a reservoir in Italy have revealed the remains of a village that had been submerged for decades. Lake Rizzio in the north of the country is best known for the church steeple emerging from its icy waters. Perhaps a hint that something's down there.
It's a bad vibe.
Yeah, it's not a great vibe.
A sunken church. That does have a bit of like a black metal sort of vibe to it. But with the lake temporarily drained, locals have been able to see the final traces of Curon, a village once home to hundreds before it was flooded to create a hydroelectric plant in 1950. Oh, that's a fucking bummer. I was absolutely picturing, like, you know, medieval village and like a dam broke or there was a flood or something. I wasn't picturing hydroelectric plant moves in and says, we need a lot of water to be where your house is.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to be kind of gone.
You don't have to take the house with you. We can deal with that. That's fine. We got a really simple solution for making it so that you don't see the house anymore. That's fine. Don't worry about the house. Don't worry about dealing with it. We'll deal with it. Just get your things and go. Get out.
To Titan, preferably. Yeah.
Go to Titan. Lake Rizzio, or Reschensee, as it is known in Germany, lies in South Tyrol, the Alpine region that borders Austria and Switzerland.
So I think this is actually quite close to Italian Bavaria.
Oh.
Mm.
It does sound like the Italian Bavaria crossroads.
It does, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. Photos shared on social media show steps, cellars, and walls on what would normally be the lake's bed, close to the more recognizable 14th century church tower. You know what? I'm just going to say it. I got steps and walls at home.
Got loads of them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm meant to be impressed. Look, in fairness, don't have a cellar. I have like an under my house that I can get into, but it's pretty dank down there, you know? Can't walk around without banging my head. There's all the dog shit under there. Lot of dog shit under my house.
That's odd. You don't own a dog.
No. So the deal is that the previous owners, I figured this out, I pieced this together over time. The previous owners had a dog and they also had a deck put onto the back of the house, right? And so when I've been down trying to do stuff under the house, like get into the water heater or whatever, there's no door on the bottom, which also, as you can imagine, in Canberra winter creates wild ass, very cold drafts all under the house when it's windy, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a door sitting next to it, but if you put the door in, it can't open because they built a deck. One of the beams just goes across the top of the doorway.
Sure.
So rather than adjust this in any way, like maybe take a top section of the door off, you know, and close the gap or something. And put that
across the top to close the... Yeah, yeah.
They just took the door out and put it next to where the door goes and left it like that forever. And they also had a dog, so the dog decided that was where he went to do his shits.
Oh, great.
So that's why the whole underneath my house is just coated wall-to-wall in dog shit.
Cool.
Do you own a circular saw and a drill?
I do.
Seems like you'd fix that in a matter of about an hour.
Oh, I just put the door back in the hole.
Yeah, but you can't open it because is the deck gone?
No, the deck's still there. I'm saying you can lift the door up into the same. So you can just slot it in.
Okay, but slot it in
and
then
the hole is closed.
Like 45 minutes to an hour with a circular saw and a drill, you could just put that, cut off the top part that would hit the beam, drill the top part into the door frame, and then just put the door back up, and then that problem be solved forever, and you wouldn't even have to think about it.
Yeah, I haven't got around to it. I just put the door back in the hole, you know?
Okay.
Stop the breeze. And then when I want to get in there, all I do is I take the door off and I put it next to the door and then I climb through. And then when I come back out, just pop it back in.
Like when I say that it's an hour's work, I'm like wildly exaggerating. It's probably like 20 minutes. Like it would really take like no time at all.
Well, you keep saying you're going to visit.
Destroy him. Roast him.
That's true. I said I was going to fucking visit in snow season. We're just about there.
Buddy, it's very snow season. It's very snow season. It's been cold enough and snowy enough, like, before winter even started up at the mountains that they opened the ski slopes early.
All right, buddy, I'm going to buy a pair of long pants and I'm coming down.
It's a lot of snow up there. That's all I'm saying.
Or I'm going to be the only guy in ruggers up on fucking Mount whatever. It'll be great. God.
I remember my brother skiing with, like, in jeans with big fucking holes in the knees.
Fuck yeah.
It only just occurs to me, now that I'm saying it, that skiing in jeans is already a ridiculous thing to
It's very funny. It's
very funny.
It's cool
it's
as hell.
It's a hilarious thing to be doing.
But yeah, had was just wearing like his, I want to say like slouch jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been I'm going to say like the mid-90s.
That's dope.
Big fuck-off holes in one of the knees. And
that is a vibe.
It just meant that if you kind of like fell and went down on one knee for a second, you'd just get like a big ice graze.
Yeah, that shit fucking hurts.
That sounds really painful.
Yeah. I guess that's why most people wear like ski pants of some kind. But
I think that might be the reason.
Sense.
Yeah.
Whatever. Shout out to my older brother. Skiing in jeans in the mid-90s, you know? Dinosaur Jr. t-shirt on. Just going for it. Luisa Azzolini, who is from the region, tweeted that it was a, quote, a stranger feeling.
Jesus.
End quote. To be walking amid the rubble of the former village.
It's less ominous and portentous when you do that accent for strange feeling.
I'm an Italian lady.
I thought strange feeling actually sounded quite spooky, and then you did it that accent, and then it just becomes a joke.
It was a very ominous.
Oh. I'm sorry, I hate to pull the curtain back.
We only just got it closed.
I know. Lucy, you bought the fucking sock for your microphone. It's on there right now. I'm looking at it. Yeah, oh, that's amazing.
When
oh,
it came,
so
I was
much.
Like, when I was touching it, I was like, this costs $9. It's a bit of foam. They really, they're scamming us with that, aren't they?
I think I paid about $6 for mine, so like you got fleeced. But thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Either way, it's a piece of foam, you know. It's a lot of expensive equipment going on behind the scenes for us. So.
To all the horny little freaks that got off on the sound of Lucy saying her P's and S's, you're fucked now, mate.
Yeah, you're fucked now.
It's over for you. I think
sounds over here.
I wonder if I paid $15 for mine.
15?
Oh, Jesus. You country rube.
I'm going to have to check, but that's how much the actual Shure brand one on Store DJ goes for. Is
Oh, yeah. Well, I went into Store DJ and I got the cheapest thing that they had on the shelves, and it... I think it's happening. Peter Pettigrew.
Peculiar pussy. You know?
That's what we all do before the show. We say peculiar pussy.
Twisting a titty. Peculiar pussy.
Paradoxical penis. Paradoxical penis.
And that's
permanent
the end of that show.
Permanent priapism.
Folks, I've got a terrible announcement to make. This is going to be a difficult time for the show. I apologize to anybody who can't continue listening after this point. I have to confirm that I purchased the Shure A58WS windscreen for the SM58 microphone from Store DJ for $15.
$15!
My goodness.
Yeah. I just looked at it and I went, fucking fine. And then immediately sent
fuck
it to
you, Saw DJ. If you're listening, go and fuck yourselves.
Shout out to the good people at Store DJ.
I believe it's Store DJ.
I think it's actually Stored J. Someone's put Put away a J for later.
Stored J.
Stored J. You know what? I don't need this J right now. But where? But where? They've got all of your solutions. Storedj.com.au. We love them. We're not sponsored by them.
No. But we're not sponsored by anyone.
I like suggesting that we are, though.
If you have a lot of money, go ahead.
Can I... And I know we're already over time, and I'm so sorry. And I know you guys have more stuff to do. But the next story is three sentences. Sorry, four sentences.
Yeah.
It's okay. Very quick, I promise. I have like one question about this story, but if we can maybe just quickly do this one.
I'm into it, and you know that I'm always down for a little bit of Scam Watch. I think I've abandoned the other stinger. I want to make a new one.
Oh. You don't like it?
I'm preemptively retiring one. That's what's happening.
Wow.
Here, from KWQC News Iowa, comes our latest Scam Watch. Fort Madison police warn of grandparent scam.
What could that possibly mean, Andrew?
Hey, look, me as a seasoned scam investigator, I might think to myself, that is a scam where you seek out a grandparent to rip off because they are traditionally the victim, you know, of a lot of scams that prey on elderly people, their gullibility, their propensity for being owned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Their lack of understanding of technologies they're being asked to use, all that kind of thing. That's very common. We all know about that. That could be the grandparent scam. But wait. Police in Fort Madison are warning the public after they've been informed of a scam going around. The scam, commonly known as the grandparent scam, has the scammer pretending to be a grandchild and say that they are in jail. They then let the person know they need bail money. Quote, the grandchild, scare quotes, is usually very frantic and upset during the phone call, police said in a Facebook post. Do not send money to anyone you don't know.
That's the end of the article.
So...
All right.
Like, you...
You get a phone call.
How do you call someone... Say you're their grandchild without, like, mentioning your name. It's me, your grandson.
Would you...
And I'm in jail.
Like, could you, like, search Facebook for profiles that hadn't been made public in your area? And then look at their Facebook page. I'm so proud of my grandson, Kevin. You know? And then I guess you got to get their phone number or figure out how to contact them somehow, which is a whole other step. Only to call them and say, Grandma, it's me, Kevin. I know I sound about 35 years older. I don't have time to explain. Someone made me try a cigarette. Now I'm in jail. The police saw it. Desperately need $500 bail money. Grandma, whatever your name is.
Like, I guess that's it, right? You look on Facebook and Grandmama has shared a post from her grandson, Brecken. Brecken has caught the seventh largest sturgeon on record in a post and she shared that. And you've gone like, So her grandson's name is Brecken. You've gone into the phone book. You've looked up that surname and that first initial and you've found them because old people are still in the phone book. And you've called them up and you've gone, it's me, Brecken. I'm in jail on a DUI and I need $7,000 wired to my personal account, which I will then transfer to the police for the bond.
Don't worry. Hey, I'm already putting you out enough. You don't need to go down to the police station.
Well, so actually, I...
Here's my Venmo. You Venmo it to me, Grandma.
I did omit one sentence from this story, and it's that the police said you have to go down to the station to post bond or bail or whatever the fuck it is. Like, you have to be there physically.
The police will never ask you to pay court fines with iTunes gift cards.
Yeah,
That type of vibe. Hear me out, though. Hear me out.
There's no reason for you to give the police a $1,000 National Geographic store gift card.
When friend of the show, Ben Jenkins, came on the show recently, we talked about scams. And he talked about when he was on a TV show called The Checkout in the spring of 1911. And he said, you know, sometimes scams that seem really stupid are actually kind of self-filtering.
Yeah, that's a classic thing about, like, email scams is that the grammar is generally very bad and all that sort of stuff because it warns off a certain type of more discerning consumer that would waste their time by asking questions.
Asking questions, asking for validation of things, saying, why wouldn't I go down to the police station to post bond, all that sort of stuff. So maybe rather than doing the time-consuming thing of trying to hunt down a specific person on Facebook and figure out who their relatives are and what age they are and what their names are and all that sort of stuff, so then try and pull one over on them, maybe it's easier to just blind call several hundred phone numbers a day and say, it's me, your grandson, and I'm in big trouble.
And they'd be like, oh my God, Brecken? And you'd be like,
yes, it's me, Brecken.
Yes, I am Brecken.
Thank goodness I'm talking to you, my grandmother. And then like the ones that you get that just hear somebody who they don't really recognize on the phone and say, I'll take your word for it that you're my grandson. Or granddaughter, you know, there could be ladies out here pulling out these scams. It could be oceans aiding this shit, you know what I'm saying?
Sisters be doing it for themselves.
So maybe that's the trick. Maybe the trick is just sheer volume and just finding a big dummy, you know?
So on my family of my surviving grandparents, my dad's parents who are both still alive, have like 6 grandchildren in total. But on my mum's side, I think it's just my mum's stepmom is still alive. But there's like 25 to 30 grandkids. You could probably fool her pretty easy. Like Lorraine's getting duped. If you call up and you're like, hey, it's me, your grandson, Sklevin. She'd be like, I don't 100% remember there being a Sklevin, but...
You got to do the you got to do the like either the supernatural medium thing,
like John Edwards, just
yeah,
being like,
you got to be like,
it's me,
it's me, your grandson, Tony,
Gray, Tony, yes, it's Tony, yeah,
it's me, Tony. Yeah, no, my name doesn't start with T; it's D, like you said. Yeah,
Tony. It was Tony.
It's me, Tony. From the popular group Doni Doni Doni. So, in closing, do not give money to a grandson that you're not aware that you have.
No. I mean, I will, on our rubric, I will rate this for ballsiness of claiming to be in the immediate family
ballsy.
Of someone.
Yeah, that's very strong. But you're claiming it to an old person.
And by the
person,
sound of it...
And they're very stupid, so...
It sounds like it's relatively successful as well. Like, they're warning people not to do it, which means it's been working.
Yeah, exactly. If the police are warning about the scam publicly by name, the grandparent scam, clearly you've been making it work.
So the only rubric that it fails on is the victiminess, which is you are literally relying on the... gentle loving kindness of a grandparent who
That's
has been
true.
Like, oh, you've committed a crime, well, I still love you, so I'm going to help you.
I'm going to sell my TV to get you out of there, Donnie.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any crime that any of my grandparents would help me with.
Like, not me either.
They'd be like, oh, you committed mail fraud, you're fucked.
You would.
I always said that about you when you were born. You just looked like a child that would eventually commit mail fraud.
Yeah, we all took one look at her. It's only a matter of time. I pointed at that baby and I said, mark my words.
Oh, what are you doing there? Playing with some envelopes?
Didn't think the crime gene was real, but then along you came.
Oh, goodness.
Changed my mind.
Can we end this podcast?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, what, you want to end it like entirely? Like, this is our last. Yes, we're done.
This is it.
Can we end all of it? End it all.
We're done. We've talked about holes for too long.
Yeah, we did.
That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a sweet, beautiful subscriber.
We love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.